two of the most iconic voices in golf are back to save the day and ready to entertain in their newly weekly video podcast, Costas and McCord, Off Their Rockers.
Welcome to a tradition unlike any other. Is it the Masters? No, it's Costas and McCord, Off Their Rockers, Masters Edition episode. Mike Abram here with you. Peter and Gary are going to be with us in a minute. And I got to tell you what, this is an exciting Masters coming up. We can't wait to get all the best players in the world back together. Have you ever heard Scottie Scheffler's swing broken down? Well, Peter and Gary are going to break it down. And not only you'll find out what Scottie does, you'll find out how it can help your game. We'll also talk about some great stories that the guys have from being at the Masters. They'll make their picks, and we've got a special story about Peter and Greg Norman back in the day that you will not want to miss. Remember, like, subscribe, and share. We love getting comments from you below, and thanks for supporting our great sponsors that we have out here. We've got a big announcement on a new partnership coming up very soon that's really fun and going to bring you a lot more great content from Peter and Gary. So without further ado, let's get going on the range at Whisper Rock, Costas and McCord, Off Their Rockers, Masters Edition.
All right, here we go. Gary, we're butting up against the first major of the year with all the chaos, all the controversy surrounding the game of golf and professional game of golf right now. We get a little bit of a respite. We get to see the Masters. We get to see Augusta National. We get to see some of the best players in the world compete. How excited are you?
Basically all of them now. We got, they're coming from all over the place, whether it be DP Tour, whether it be PGA Tour, whether it be LIV. They're all there. We're going to find out who's playing well. And speaking of that, you know, I think we're just about in a position we were years ago when I thought it was absurd, where Tiger was playing good and it was Tiger or the field. And I stopped a few times and went, I don't know how to bet it. Which is literally, to think about that is impossible.
We're really close to that with Scottie. I haven't gone to the odds page yet to find out if they have that Scottie Scheffler versus the field bet or not.
Oh, sure, I'll guarantee that.
But I'll say this. This is a stupid question. Who would you pick to win?
If you look at what's going on and look how he is playing, that is Scottie Scheffler, how he is playing, and no one else has really lightened it up, I've got him over the kind of unknown of John Rahm, who went to the other side, the dark side, and you know I don't know how he's playing, but it seems to me those two players are going to look each other in the eye, which is going to be fantastic. But it is to the point where it is a Scottie against the field, and I'm telling you, I don't know, because I know one thing: Scheffler will be in the top five. If he putts bad, indifferent, whatever,
I mean,
he's going to be there.
You know, if Scottie's putting well, in my opinion, he wins by five. If he's not putting well, maybe he wins by one. So he's clearly the favorite right now. The players that you would normally look at, the McIlroys, the Rahms, the Brooks Koepkas, the names, if you will, they're not quite operating on all eight cylinders. Now, you can hope that they elevate their game for the Masters, that it excites them and they get it going, but we'll have to wait and see about that, right?
Yeah, it's, again, if you start looking at the profile of Scottie, the one thing Scottie really does well that I've watched, and you could spew all the numbers, but he keeps his ball pin high every time. Yeah. And at Augusta, as you know, that's where you want to play from. Not long or short, you want to play from pin high where you got a chance.
It's funny, if you took his numbers, and you know how I hate stats, and I hate the reliance on them beyond belief, but if you took his numbers and you superimposed a blackout swing of Adam Scott or Thomas Dietrich or Tiger, whatever, and you put those stats with that swing shape, boom, here comes the cash.
Yeah.
People are going to be betting all day long,
right?
But the one thing that keeps people from really fully committing to Scottie Scheffler is the uniqueness of his golf swing, so some say, and the uniqueness of his footwork, so some say.
Yeah, it's like he's playing on skates. And you know, I take a look at Scottie. You know, Randy Smith you know, started when he was like eight or something. And Randy obviously is a fantastic teacher, and he saw something there that, well, the kid kind of, he's got some happy feet going there, Steve Martin happy feet, but he hits it dead straight. I'll guarantee you, this is just my opinion. I'm going to talk to Randy or anything else. Scotty Scheffler in his early days used to hook it all the time. And one day they finally went, how are we going to stop it? Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get you a medium grip. We're going to take your left arm. We're going to shoot it straight up in the air. We're going to get the club face wide open. And then at the bottom, we're going to hold off that hook by sliding as hard as we can towards the target. And by the way, why don't you just take your right foot and take it and put it right behind your left foot so you're just about standing your own divot when you're done. There. Now go ahead and hit it. And by the way, about 15 years later, he's hit it perfect.
Yeah. Well, I like to collect quotes. It's a little segue.
Really, you got to get a stamp collection or something.
Yeah. The quote I like is, "Information is not knowledge, and knowledge is not wisdom. Wisdom can only come with experience." Now, why do I say that?
I say that because
we have experience.
Yes.
That's the slick way of getting around the fact that we're old.
Okay.
But Scotty Scheffler's swing is not new. It is not unique. It has been around forever. And I've not seen or heard anybody on television explain, whether it's on a broadcast or Golf Channel, explain what he's doing, why he's doing it, and what happens when he does it. Right?
Yep.
How about, it's Costas and McCord off their rockers. How about if we get off our rockers and let's go share some of our wisdom about Scotty Scheffler's footwork, why he does it, what it accomplishes, and what maybe can happen to help your game at home with this footwork. Maybe not to Scotty's extreme, but if you learn the fundamentals of this footwork, I guarantee you it can help your game. What do you think?
Well, why not?
Do you need help getting up?
No, but you know, if I move my right foot behind my left, look at that. Look at that. I can get right. It works.
All right, Scotty Scheffler swing. Now, I said there's nothing new about it, and I will give you a couple of names.
Okay.
Greg Norman.
Yes.
Mark Calcavecchia.
Yes.
Billy Casper.
Yes.
Let's go back in the day.
Yes.
They all did what? They all did that.
All did that.
Now, my question is, I know why Mark did it because
you were teaching him. Yes.
In your opinion, what got those guys to make that move?
I remember asking Greg Norman that. When he hit at the Augusta and he hit it in lot five up there to the right with a 4 or 5 iron the last hole.
Yep.
And he was up there playing with the people and he lost the tournament. And I remember it wasn't long after I said, why are you shuffling this way and dragging the right foot right against the left? And he looked at me and he goes, because I hooked it and I hated hooking it. And I'll guarantee you, I mean, Casper was the same way. Casper went hitting sloppy hooks to go like this and hitting cut shots. He'd just wipe it and it would just cut like that. Gilder, same thing. Calcavecchia, as you know. Yeah. And these guys all had one thing in common that I saw playing with them and so forth, that the guy like Calcavecchia and especially Scotty Scheffler, their left arm went way up in the air and the club face was hanging straight down, meaning they didn't want to hook the ball.
Correct.
And I don't know anything about, I know Randy Smith has taught him since he was a toddler, that along the way.
Scheffler, you mean?
Scheffler. Scheffler, Randy Smith, watched him hit balls and goes, okay, you hook it way too much. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get your left arm in the air, you're going to get the club hanging down, and then we're going to go like that. So that heel never, ever passes and lets the toe pass it. It's going like this, and he's controlling the club face. And it seems like every one of those guys said, am I close? It does it for the same reason.
Yeah, stand here.
Okay.
In my world, we're always trying to eliminate one side of the golf course, right? So if you grip it correctly, whatever that is for you, if you use your hands and arms and just a small swing and release it, you should draw the ball or hook the ball, maybe even pull draw the ball, right?
Yep.
We don't want that shot. So the hands and arms and wrists and fingers and club face, that eliminates the right side of the golf course. Now the rotation of the body slows down the rotation of the club face. That eliminates the left side of the golf course. And everybody wants to know what timing is in the golf swing. Well, the timing is the rotation of your body rotation of the club face, match them up for the shots you want to hit, right? So the hooker's way too much blade rotation, not enough body rotation, right?
Yep.
So now, and we see a lot of people who, we call it hump the ball, the early extension, whatever. You can't rotate your body if you're doing that. So you're either going to play a block or you're going to flip hook it, right? So it's action, reaction. We know we want the hips to clear. Mm-hmm. Well, as the hips clear this way, counterclockwise,
yep.
The feet are working clockwise.
Okay.
The pressure in the ground. Mm-hmm. You have to have an equal and opposite force to balance out. So when I go this way and then push off this foot, the force in my ground is going clockwise. That allows me to turn my hips faster, right?
Mm-hmm.
Also, what happens, action, reaction, the more this foot slides to the left foot, this left leg better post up. In other words, if I get here, this leg better post up, otherwise I'm going to fall on my butt.
Yeah, right? If you go this way, you're going to, I'm so already.
You come over here now.
Okay.
And just make some practice swings and just drag your right toe over to your left toe. Not behind you, just over to your left.
I remember playing with Casper, watching him, and I always hooked it. And I'm watching him hit these cuts. And I played this way for a while on the tour. So let's see if I can remember. And all I did was I just tried to slide against it.
Yep.
I didn't go like Scheffler, going backwards behind it. I just slid against it.
We'll get to that in a second. Go ahead. Okay. Just, you don't even have to hit a ball. Make a couple of practice swings and do it.
Well, I'll just hit a ball. I'll show you the athletic ability of a 76-year-old. Watch this.
Notice how this leg had to post up and straighten, yeah. Yeah. And that hip had to clear. If you'd have fallen over, right? So action, reaction. As the right leg drives toward the left and you drag the foot parallel to the target line, this hip and leg have to clear.
Right.
Humans want balance.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay. Now, this, the early extension, the spine straightening up, mm-hmm. and the shoulders coming through flat, that's a no-no in the golf, right?
Yes, because now I'm dumping, I'm going like this, and it's either going over there or over there. And
so now we're going to go, go ahead and set up.
Okay.
Now we're going to go toe to heel.
Okay.
And as you drag your toe down this line, go ahead and drag your toe down that line.
That's going to be fun.
That the only way you can maintain your balance is to keep this out over the ball.
Yeah, no question. No question.
Right?
Okay. Hold on, let me get this. So you want it going just like it is there.
Yeah.
I'm liable to hurt something here.
So push your right toe toward your left heel.
I'm going to do it best I can. You're right, I was fighting for balance.
Yeah,
right there.
Yeah. Because in your case, and full disclosure, the older we get, the more difficult it is to rotate the body and use the legs as we did when we were 25, 30 years old, right?
The one thing I noticed with, and explain this one to me, with Scotty Scheffler, is that there is a massive lateral movement this way, and it's fast. You remember, you ever seen those pictures of Bruce Lee when he would take a guy and it was the 1-inch punch, and they stand there and you go boom and you couldn't see it and the guy's going backwards 30 feet. To me, that looks like Scotty is just boom accelerating like hell going.
I don't think that there's a massive lateral shift prior to impact.
Okay.
I think there's an explosive movement. He's here, up here, and then this starts and it moves a little, but boom, there, boom. And it's so hard that this left foot comes off the ground too.
Yeah.
Right?
He's half the time he's doing the Scotty Scheffler thing again. But that is speed. He will never be accused of hanging back on his right side.
Nope.
Like a lot of guys, they get nervous going this way.
So go ahead, right toe to left heel.
Okay.
Complete your backswing, right toe to left heel.
I haven't got a backswing anymore, you know that. Okay, here we go. It's gonna look something like that. I'm going to pull a grain. I know it. I hit the crap out of that one. So you got, I literally was falling down.
And we can go back even farther now. You either have to have active feet and a quiet head.
Go ahead and explain that.
In other words,
active feet.
A lot of footwork. You have to have a quiet head.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Or if you have a moving head.
Yeah.
you know, an old Jimmy Ballard type swing, then you have to have quiet feet.
Yes.
You can't have both. You can't have active feet and an active head, right? So Nicklaus had a very quiet head.
Yes.
It's the stories, Jack Grout holding his hair.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
But Nicklaus took lessons from Jack Grout, who was in some fashion or form mentored by Alex Morrison. Mm-hmm. And Alex used to take, he had a yardstick, and he used to, go ahead and set up.
Okay.
This is going to be fun. He used to whack.
I got whacked before too.
See? Yeah. Down here.
I got whacked here.
And he wanted.
If I didn't.
The right foot, the heel to stay, the inside of the foot to stay down, the outside to come up, and then you go.
Yeah.
That keeps the knee inside of the line.
Yeah, I was taught always to keep the knees on a straight line and never get that knee outside like JT or somebody like that.
Right, right. So that's why guys that go this way end up with problems if they don't time at 100%, right?
Yep.
So Nicklaus had a quiet head and he was able to be very active with his feet. His left knee would get way the hell over here. He'd come, but he always went off of this foot this way.
Yep.
Never this way.
Yeah.
Right? That's a version of what we're talking about with Scottie Scheffler and Casper and Norman.
I'm Calc. Pretty sure then you did this drill with your guys when you wanted them to push and go that way.
Yeah.
It's the old ball back.
Yeah.
Which didn't allow you to get the weight to the outside.
But the Scottie Scheffler's footwork is easily explainable in the sense that it's action reaction. It's physics. The more you drive off your right foot toward your left foot.
Yeah, I've got a center of gravity, which is right about here in my golf swing. And I'm trying to keep that stable. But I can see when I'm moving this back, my CG is going this way. It's going
at least it's not coming this way.
But I've got to lean over to counter that movement going this way, which is interesting because every tour player is down here. They're pushing off the ground here and going up. And I can see right there when I start doing this, I got to lean more and more over to counter the CG moving this
way.
Center of gravity.
Yeah. Make a practice swing. No ball. Just make a practice swing and move your right foot back toward your left. And if I don't let you, you're going to fall over.
Fall over.
There's no two ways around it. So if you want to get rid of, let's switch places again. You want to get rid of early extension and stuff like that, then work on this, because the more you do this, the more this has to stay over and the more you'll have your spine tilt coming forward.
Okay.
So it's very simple. Go up here. See? And that lower body action forces the upper body.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just work on maintaining your spine angle, because if the lower body's not working correctly, then and you maintain the correct spine angle, you're going to fall on your ass.
Yeah, yeah.
It's no good. So hit me one more. Okay. We'll wrap it up. But this is what Scottie Scheffler does, and let's also go back a minute to our wisdom, old age.
Yes.
BS.
Yes.
When Nicklaus or when Norman or Calc or Billy Casper was doing this with their footwork, it was still a game of control.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right? It wasn't massive.
They did this, they hit the ball hard, but they were never as violent as they are today. Today it's a game of power, right? So all Scottie's done is ramped up the energy in his footwork to match the power game, right? If we went back to persimmons and a control game, right?
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't be as active.
No, because none of those guys we mentioned had the exotic movement of his right foot that Scottie does. I mean, it is so far, sometimes it gets past, you watch him, it gets past his front foot.
Yeah.
Then he's got to replace over here, so that's why you see the Scottie Scheffler's thing.
Yeah, but it's all because the violence of the feet is because of the power game that we're playing these days.
Here's what I'll try to do for you.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I'm going to pull something right in here.
Yeah.
Okay?
I'll help you up.
So I'm going to go, and this is going to be my last swing, maybe forever. I'm going to go as hit this hard as I can, and I'm going to really Scottie Scheffler this thing.
Pretty good, isn't it?
How do you hit it right in the middle of the club face when you're falling down?
Because, and this is important, your center of gravity stayed, we turned around.
Within reach.
But it stayed inside a softball,
okay.
Right? It didn't slide, it didn't go lateral, it didn't go forward and back, didn't go up and down prior to impact, right?
Yep.
So that's it. That's where footwork like Scottie Scheffler can help you. I wouldn't suggest doing it this violently starting out, but you can start off just dragging your right toe toward your left toe, hit a few easy shots, then drag your right toe toward your left toe, heel, to then go ahead and incorporate that move. And you're gonna find a big difference in how you maintain your body position going through impact and into your follow through. There you have it.
Wait, hold it. Anybody got any ice? That last one might have dislocated something.
Yeah, you got to warm up more at your age.
Well, I can't warm up.
All right, we've discussed Scotty Scheffler's golf swing. Hopefully we've explained it to where you might be able to understand it. Now, Masters coming up, we got to make some picks. Give me a favorite. I'll let you go first. Give me a favorite. Give me a dark horse.
Okay, do we take Scheffler out of this? Are we getting Tiger?
No. We're going to.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take Scheffler. Okay, and the dark horse, I'm going to take Ludvig Åberg.
Wow.
Go ahead.
You went out on a limb there.
Yeah, I did.
Does that mean I can't take Scheffler?
No, you can take anybody you want. You're an idiot if you don't take him. Go ahead. Show your idiocy. No, take somebody else. I dare you.
A lot of people have called me idiot, not as many times as you do.
No, I know. I'm very good at it.
I'm going to take Scheffler as well.
Yeah.
I just think his ball striking is immaculate right now.
Now
I'm going to go... I'm going to do the one thing that a bettor should never, ever do. I'm going to go with my heart. Yeah, you should never, ever do this. But I think somehow, some way, Rory McIlroy figures out a way to avoid the big number, gets the Grand Slam.
You're betting with.
Yeah, I'm just betting with my heart. It's not even a dollar. It's just this tape.
You and I. Yeah.
So there you have it.
For a bear. I gotta go. I gotta get some ice.
Get some ice. It's in the bucket on the cart.
I'm not gonna walk with a limp for the rest of my life.
Don't go away, because when we come back on Costas and McCourt off their rockers, Peter shares the incredible story of CBS Sports and Greg Norman that you don't want to miss.
Costas and McCourt off their rockers. We'll be right back.
Imagine a putter that will actually transform your game. Introducing Lab Golf Putters. The revealer shows how the Lab keeps the putter face square through impact unlike any other putter. Lab is the hottest putter in professional golf with multiple global victories in 2023, including the PGA Tour. Lab breaks the mold with better science so you can stop struggling with your putting. Elevate your game, simplify your putting, and untorque yourself. Visit labgolf.com to discover how Lab putters are remaking the game.
Visit our website, costasmccourt.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel or podcast, and follow us on social media at Costas McCourt off their rockers. And now, on Costas and McCourt off their rockers, our favorite time is story time with Peter and Gary.
Well, Peter, remember the last time we went over my master's story and what happened in that great establishment at Augusta?
Bikini wax.
they're so fast, I don't think they mow them. I think they bikini wax them. Anyway, you have a story that I remember, and I don't think I was there, but I remember you telling me about it. Can you go over that story again?
Yeah, this was PM.
PM, post McCourt. Yes.
In the Masters 1996, I'm on the 10th hole back then. I spent 10 years on the 10th hole only because I was hoping like hell for a playoff, and I never got damn one. Not one playoff while I was on 10. Then they moved me to 13. Then they moved me to 15. Never got a playoff. Anyway.
Then they fired you.
So Saturday,
yeah.
Greg Norman has a 6-shot lead at the end of the day.
That's with Faldo is right behind him.
Yeah.
Second place.
They're going to get paired together in the final round. So I'm walking, back then they didn't give us carts. So I had to walk up the 10th hole, down around the par 3, back to the TV compound behind the par 3. And so Brian Hammons is there, right by the par 3, all by his lonesome with a camera and lights. And this was the first event, basically, that Golf Channel covered.
All right.
Because that's when they were born that year. And they had one guy up there, and he's getting ready to do a stand-up back to Orlando. So I just stop and say hi to him and whatever, and he goes, well, it looks like Sharky's going to finally win his green jacket. Now, I'm thinking, I know Brian, he's a good guy, and we're going to have this conversation just like you and I are having this conversation right now. So I said, well, Brian, I'm not sure. I mean, he could be in for a rough go. And he goes, what? I go, yeah. I said, look, Butch changed his grip on Tuesday. He strengthened his grip. He went out Thursday with the grip, maintained it all day long, played great, had a two-shot lead. Friday, I notice his grip gets a little bit weaker. You know, under pressure, you revert to instinct, right? But there's no way in hell you can change a grip on Tuesday of the Masters and have it be instinctive as the week goes on, right? But now he's got a four-shot lead Friday night. Then he plays Saturday, and the grip is weaker still. It's almost back to where it was before Butch changed it. Now he's missing it both ways, and as you know at Augusta, missing it both ways is a...
It's a nightmare, basically.
It's a no-no, yes. So I just explained this, you know, to Brian, and I said, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but he could be in for a long day if he doesn't get this sorted out.
Yep.
You know. And so I walk to the compound. I go home, sitting in our house, having dinner, whatever. I wake up the next morning. I go in the compound. I walk in. I walk into the main room.
Yep.
And, you know, Frank's office is over there
Frank
to the right.
Canyon, yeah.
And so I hear this, Costas, get your ass in here now.
Well, that's never good.
And I go, oh, this is 9 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. What do I do now? And so I go in, and there's Frank and Jim Nance in there. And he goes, sit down. I go, okay, what's up? He goes, did you tell the whole world Norman was going to choke today? And I go, Frank, I don't think so. I mean, if I did, I would have remembered it, but I don't remember it. He goes, well, I just hung up the phone, and he wants to put his hands around your neck and squeeze you to death.
Wait a minute, how'd they find out? Did Brian Hammond say something on the air?
And I go, I couldn't figure out what was going on.
Okay.
Then I find out that Golf Channel bought time on the local CBS affiliate in Augusta. So now when Brian does his stand-up,
right,
they ask him what the mood is in Augusta. And Brian goes, well, ladies and gentlemen, just about everybody I've talked to here thinks that Greg Norman is going to win his first of many green jackets. Except, interestingly enough, just moments ago, I had a chat with CBS's Peter Costas. And Peter rambled off some technical stuff about his golf swing and thinks Greg might be in for a long day. That airs in Augusta. Because at that time, the viewership of the Golf Channel was nothing. Nada,
yeah.
Right? Who's watching that? And God knows why he's watching TV on Saturday night before his final round at Augusta. It's Greg Norman. So Greg interprets what I said, that I called him out and he was going to choke. So, so Frank says, you idiot, keep your mouth shut. How many times have I told you? And I go, he says, get out. He throws me out of his office, right? Now, I walk out, kind of slam the door.
And I kind of slam the door?
Kind of, you know, got to be careful with Frank.
Yes,
right?
You do.
And so I go, I walk out and go, you know what? I walk back in, open the door, and I said, you know what, Frank? If all he's got to do on the morning of arguably the most important round of golf of his life is call you and bitch about me, he's more fucked than I thought. And I walked out, and this time I slammed the door.
Ah, a slight slam?
It was a slam.
Second one, okay.
Yeah. And Nance is sitting there. Nance can verify this whole thing. He was sitting right there. And so back then, we used to have a Calcutta. Mm-hmm. And there was a fair amount of money involved.
Drunken money involved.
Yeah, but Frank had Greg Norman.
The plot thickens.
And so now, about, I don't know, 3-4 minutes after this whole thing's done, I'm out in the main part of the office. Frank sticks his head out the door and he goes, anybody want to buy Norman for $2,000?
I do, you know, I was home watching on television and I was, you know, six-shot lead. you're going to watch for about the first nine holes, because if he's even or you know, if he gains a couple more strokes, there's nothing going on. And as you know, the back nine at Augusta on Sunday is always good. So I'm sitting there watching, and you know, he is getting a little clumsy with everything he's doing, kind of like you pointed out. And you could start to see the slow train wreck as it was starting.
Yeah.
And it ended up, in the back nine, it got a little goofy for him. And I think he ended up shooting 78, I believe, and Nick Faldo shot 67.
Yeah, it was a huge difference. I tell you, one of the biggest keys, in my opinion, was Faldo getting in the final pair. You know, the way he finished on Saturday, he got paired with Greg Norman. So it was eyeball to eyeball.
Yeah.
And I think that hurt Greg as much as it helped Nick, right?
Yeah.
And so he's struggling the front nine, and he's holding it together with Band-Aids and what. And I remember Venturi, when they got to nine, they said, you know, that had that front pin, and he goes, absolutely, Cardinal's in here, you cannot miss it short and have it come down the hill. Bingo, Greg hits it, doesn't hit it up on the plateau, it comes back off. I think he made double there, right? And so then now you could get this sense. Now you could see the train wreck starting to form.
Right.
And it was painful to watch. He came to 10 on my hole and he missed it short left.
Ooh.
And it was just awful down there. Right. And you could tell that, I mean, he was searching. He was struggling. He was fighting his butt off. No two ways around it. But he had no bullets in the gun.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And Faldo is just sitting there like, okay.
Yeah, measuring it up.
I'm reeling him in now. Yeah. And it progresses. And I remember the distinct picture of Greg trying to chip in on 15.
Yes.
And then falling to his knees and whatever. And it was just a miserable, slow train wreck.
Yeah.
You know, and to Nick's credit, he played a superb. I mean, you shoot 67, 5-under in the final round of the Masters. That's golfing your ball. Mm-hmm. That's pretty special stuff. But everybody was fixated on Greg's, you know, death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah.
It was just like he couldn't put anything together.
Yeah.
And then the next week, I'm thinking it's over, right? And it's like everybody's stunned.
Right.
The gallery is stunned. I mean, it's like, what happened, right? And so we get in our car and drive to Hilton Head, as you know, Saturday. I'm walking with
Greg Norman. Ah, this ought to be fun.
So
did you plead with Frank not to go in the group?
No, I stayed as far away as I could, whatever. We get to the 18th hole, and we're crashing off the air as soon as he makes the last putt.
Okay.
So I'm no idiot. I'm not going to walk all the way up to the green, not being able to say anything, and then walk back because our compound is back toward 16. So I'm starting to slowly walk back toward 16. He putts out, and we crash off the air. And next thing I hear is, Peter, and I turn around and it's Tony Navarro. It's Greg's caddy. He's yelling at me. He goes, Greg wants to talk to you. And I'm thinking, I honestly thought, shit, did I say something that he heard me? Did I disrupt him? Did I get in his way?
Yeah.
Because that's my first concern as a walking on course guy. You don't want to disrupt play, right? I didn't even dawn on me about Augusta. I had put that to bed.
Okay.
He goes, come on, you got to come back. Greg wants to talk to you. So I walk all the way back. He signs his card, and we go underneath the bleachers at 18.
Not good. Stay out in the middle of the public, okay?
And he starts to berate me.
About
the Masters. How could you do that to me? How could you say that? Whatever. And I said, Greg, look, first of all, I thought it was off the record, so I didn't think it was going to go anywhere. Number two, I mean, what happened? You know, I feel bad for you, but you know what? You struggled with your grip change and whatever. And so we go part our separate ways after a couple of...
Did you? In the chest?
Point, counterpoint in
underneath
the chest.
The bleachers.
Underneath the bleachers, whatever. And the final culmination of the whole story from my perspective is, back then, CBS had lost NFL football and we did all that goofy golf stuff in the fall. Mm-hmm. Remember the shark shootout?
Yep.
And so we're doing down the shark shootout. This is now November. And he's hitting balls. And he asked me to take a look at his swing. So it was a.
Was it a weak grip?
I didn't say. You know, I said, Greg, it looks fine. That's it. That's my master's.
So now I've got the idea that you're unemployed at this point, and why you didn't get a phone call to do the LIV tournament as an announcer. I get it now.
There's a possibility of that.
Yes, yeah. It could be. Yeah. Residual.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I sure did. Watching Peter and Gary break down Scottie Scheffler's swing is incredible. We're going to be bringing more swing breakdowns, more tour swing breakdowns, and also, of course, from Coach Costas, more instruction that's going to help your game. Thanks again to our incredible sponsors. And again, we've got some really exciting news coming up very soon. So make sure to like, subscribe, share, and hit that notification bell so you do not miss an episode. Please follow us on all the social media channels. You can see them right here on your screen. And in the description below, we've got an incredible contest for you to win. It's the Scotland Golf Sweepstakes. You have to enter. It's free. You have a chance to go to Scotland and play golf in the home of golf. So for Peter, for Gary, I'm Mike Abram. Thanks for being with us. And we'll be back with another episode very soon of Costas and McCord Off Their Rockers.